Father, this morning I pray that your heart is blessed, because you have blessed us beyond anything we could give to you. We have actually nothing to give to you, for there is not words that can come out of our mouth to express your holiness, your goodness, your greatness, your love for us. And yet it's the best we can do. And so, Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us through your Son, through your Word, through the world in which you have made. Father, we acknowledge you as God, King of kings, Lord of lords, maker of heaven and earth. There is no God like our God. There is no God but our God. Father, I pray for the rest of this morning that you would lead, that by your Spirit you would convict and challenge. I pray, Father, that we would be humbled this morning and contrite of heart this morning. I pray, Father, that in the next few moments, whatever you lead us to, that we would have just a tiny taste of what it is to be your people and to be your church, a foreshadowing, Lord, of what is to come, to be in your presence, Lord. Just let us behold that. Let us see it this morning. Let us participate in that this morning. Lord, I ask these things. I ask these things, Lord, knowing that I am weak, knowing that every one of us up in the stage is weak, that everyone in this room is weak, and we need you. Forgive us for our self-reliance and our dependence upon ourselves. Meet with us this morning. I ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, you may be seated. A quick confession to make for this morning. I came today kind of with a couple of things as potentials for us today in regards to what the Lord might lead us to. Had a sermon prepared, one that I know the Lord has laid upon my heart to share. And yet, I'd say early this week started to feel like the Lord wanted us to go into a different direction. And so began to pray about that, invited our elders and our pastors and elders' wives and others to pray and fast about what the Lord might have for us today and what he might want to lead us into today. And I prayed and I sought and felt like the Lord continued to just give me a lot of thoughts and a lot of notes to take. And it was funny, I actually told this to a couple of folks throughout the week that every time I started to try to draft out what I wanted to share this morning, I felt a deep conviction of my heart that I wasn't supposed to. And so for a preacher, for a pastor, for someone who has to stand in front of a bunch of people and talk, that's terrifying, right? And it might be terrifying for you too, to know that I don't really have anything written down this morning. I've got some notes, which is why I have my iPad this morning, which is not typically what I teach from. But I do feel like the Lord is leading in a direction for me today. And again, I don't know exactly where that's going to lead us as his people, but I certainly feel this morning that the Spirit is already moving and that he is present with us. And so we trust him, and we trust that he will lead. And so here's kind of where my thinking has been going over the past couple of days. And like I said, I'll look at some notes here. But I think that as I process through what just the Lord was leading upon my heart, laying upon my heart, was as we walk away from the space, what do I pray that we walk away with? And this is ultimately what I came out with. I pray that we walk out with a deeper longing. And a deeper longing for a lot of different things. A deeper longing for the presence of the Lord in our lives. A deeper longing to see the power of the gospel and the power of the kingdom of God come into this kingdom or into this world, which is clearly broken. A longing to have us as the church be the church. And start to actually come to a place where we are the church and we're being the church, and it's normal for us to be the church. And I've had a few of these moments in my life where I feel like that's really has been the case. And yet, as I think about it and I've pondered and I've prayed a lot in the past week and a lot over the past couple of weeks, it's interesting that one of the things I keep coming back to is it seems like so often our church experience is something that we do on a Sunday morning. And for all of us, I know the routine looks a little bit different, but for our family, it's getting up in the morning a little later than we should have, trying to rush everybody up and rush everybody to get ready and dress nice and breakfast fed and thrown in the car and realizing that someone left their shoes inside, and then we run back in and grab them and then get back in the van and buckle everybody up and then try to get here. And then by the time we get here, we're like three songs in. And so we get down and we're like, whew. And then we listen to me or somebody else preach from the pulpit. And then we might go to class. We might not. We might go home. We might go out to lunch. But then our week starts again. And we do this over and over and over and over. And man, listen, I know there is deep value in coming to hear the Word of God. Deep value in coming to hear the Word. It is the Word of God that leads us, that guides us, is the light of truth for us. It's the mirror in which we can look into and see the brokenness and the wickedness of ourselves and be corrected and encouraged and all of the things that the Scripture says about itself. And man, we need that. We need it all the time. But even this week in our house church, in our home, there was a text that we read. We were in 1 Corinthians and going through 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And Paul says this to the Corinthian church, and he's talking about the kingdom of God. And he says that the kingdom of God, the power of the kingdom of God is not in talk, it's in power. And I feel that in many ways, we've lost that power. As a church, we've lost that power. I've seen it in other parts of the world. We've seen it throughout history. We've seen it throughout Acts. And we read the book of Acts, and it's like we read that, and then we just kind of assume that was then, and this is now. And it's different. And maybe there's certain things that are different, and maybe there's different things that are not the same for sure, and the Spirit of God moves differently. But I think we give up on that way too fast. And I think we give up on it way too quickly. I want to ask this question. Do you believe that God can do mighty things still? Do we believe that? Do you believe that God can do mighty things the way that we're doing everything right now? That's a different question, isn't it? Because if you ask me that question, I would say the answer is no. And that's a hard one for me to say. And the reason why I believe the answer is no is because I believe that we are too bogged down with distraction, with the love of this world, with an unwillingness to deal with sin in our lives, with a lack of view of who God really is and a real lack of desire to even pursue Him and to seek His face. I think we've got distraction, we've got sin that is unconfessed in our lives, but most importantly, I believe it's because in a lot of ways we are a prayerless church. And I don't mean we never pray. I just mean that in terms of that being the driving force of our lives, we are a prayerless people. And I don't, again, mean, and I'm not just talking about central, and I'm not trying to say that there's not exceptions to that, because I know godly men and women who are deeply dedicated to go before the Lord all the time. But I do know that everything, every movement of God starts with prayer. One of our elders this week quoted in our prayer time on Tuesday a quote from E.M. Bounds, and he says this: all the true revivals have been born in prayer. When God's people become so concerned about the state of religion that they lie on their face day and night in earnest supplication, the blessing will be sure to fall. It begins with prayer. I want to read a text that if you've been around the church, you'll probably find to be relatively familiar. I want to pray before we read. Father, as I read this text, this word that is given to us, may we not see it as just something that was spoken to the people of old, but may we see it as something that is spoken to us. And Father, I pray that it would, even now in this moment, begin to work on our hearts, that we would see clearly what it is that you would call us into. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. At the dedication of the Temple of Solomon, starting in verse 13, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. And I'm going to pause in verse 13, because what God is saying is, like, when things look like they're out of your control, let's just start with that. Like, when things look like they're out of control, when things look like they're not going the way you want them to, when things look difficult and it's beyond your ability to address it, because none of us can stop pestilence. And I'm not talking about COVID, by the way, although maybe all our minds went there, but that's the position of the people. And then God says this: if my people in that moment, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Father God, this is spoken of your temple. We are now your temple. Like, that's the difference. It's the only difference for us, is that we are now your temple. We are the people, your people, who you have saved and you have redeemed, and your spirit now lives within each of us. The very power that raised your son from the dead. So much so that you told us that it's better for you to depart than to stay. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning, as we come to this moment, that as we come to this text, and as we think about what it means for us, and as we practice it, Father, I pray that you would help us to be humble so that we might pray and that we might be heard. And I pray, Lord, these things in your name. Amen. This is a fascinating text to me. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. What I want to say right off the bat is what this text is not intended only for us to mean is, oh, look what happened in our country this week, and if we pray, God will make it all better. Because, brothers and sisters, let me just remind us, this is not our land. All right? Like he will heal our land ultimately when he gives us a new heaven and a new earth. Now, that doesn't mean we don't pray for our country, amen? And it doesn't mean we don't believe that God can do some miraculous things within this space any more than he can do in Kenya or Ghana or any other country in this world. And so we believe that to be true. But I want to walk through this text a little bit, because I think it's super important for us. If my people who are called by my name, Brothers and sisters, do you realize that you have been called by his name? That when you walk out of this space, you bear the name of God. You bear the name of Christ. And we are called to be his people. And this doesn't mean a people who are joined together because we all think the same. It doesn't mean that we're people who are joined together because we all came from the same backgrounds, or that we're all come together or unified together because we think all the same political strategies are right or economic policies are right or because of any other thing that you can mean. We are called together as his people because we have seen the holiness and the glory of God. Because he has redeemed us by his son, Jesus Christ, and has reconciled us to himself. And I think that one of the things we have to come to before we can trust, and before we can even step into humbling ourselves in prayer, which we're going to talk about in a minute, is that we need to recognize that we can so easily rip each other apart instead of recognizing that we are the people of God called by his name. We're the people of God called by his name, and yet we'll talk about one another behind our backs. We'll slander one another. We'll divide God's church. We'll believe the wrong things about people. We'll make misunderstandings about people, and he abhors it. Jesus prayed it in John chapter 17, that we would be unified, like him and the Son and the Father are unified, like the Spirit and the Son and the Father are unified, that we would be unified in the same ways. Friend, this week, and it was actually interesting because I had a couple of elders as they were entering into prayer, and some others as they were entering in prayer send some of the same thing. One of those was Lauren this week, sent me a text, and I think it's so important for us this morning. It's out of Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, pride, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and listen to this one, the one who sows discord among brothers. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. One who sows discord among brothers. Matthew chapter 5 says this, verse 23, 24. If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So here's what I want to do this morning for in the next couple of minutes. We're going to take time to be the church, to not just talk about these things. Because I believe that if there's discord among us, then he won't hear our prayers. And so I want to take a moment of just stillness and silence, but then I pray and I hope that it turns into a time where if there is someone in this room that you have something against, or you know that there is someone in this room that has something against you, that you will go to them right now. And we're going to provide the time for you to do so. Maybe you're in this room this morning and you are struggling with forgiveness of a brother or sister and you just can't let something go and you just feel it in there. Maybe they're not here with you and you need the Lord to help give you and by his Spirit grant you the ability to forgive those that have hurt you. We invite you to pray. And so we're going to take some time, and as we do that, I'm going to ask that some of our elders and pastors and prayer counselors, would you guys and gals just come up to the front? And I'm going to ask that you not stand at the stage, but you just sit in these front rows. And if someone or anybody wants to come down and to just be prayed over, that you would do so and you would feel comfortable to do so. If your spouse is one that you're sitting next to that you're harboring some bitterness against this morning, quietly lean over to them and pray and deal with it in this moment. And if you're there alone and you know that there's somebody that you're holding bitterness and harboring anger in your heart right now, take that to the Lord. So I want to do that. Father, we talk about these things. Lord, I want to do these things. If you abhor discord among brothers, if you hate it, we should hate it too. We should hate it too. Help us to hate it so much that we will deal with it every time it begins to bear fruit in our hearts. Father, I'm going to pray right now that you would help us to be free of it. Convict our hearts of it. Let us be bold to go to brothers and sisters, even in the next few moments, to ask for forgiveness in this moment. I want to encourage you to feel free to take whatever posture, by the way, that you feel the Lord leading you to. Whether that's kneeling at your chair, standing, raising your eyes before Him, or coming down to these steps. We're the people of God and there is no shame. Father, because I believe that bringing things to light is important, as opposed to letting them hide in darkness before my brothers and sisters. Father, I confess that I have struggled to forgive and not be angry with those who have specifically left the church and spoken slander against my family, against the elders and the leaders of this church. Father, I pray that you would help me to love even them the way that you love me. It's so hard sometimes. And it's so hard to not want to defend yourself. And everything in me wants to, and I pray, Father, that you would give me the grace to love and to forgive. And forgive me for holding that.
And the blessing will come upon us like the oil on Aaron's feet and your beard in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I love you too, Lord.
Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus and we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. Father, we ask and we plead, forgive us and help us. Forgive me and help me. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Your name. Hallelujah.
Chronicle says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. That's so hard for us. Father, we are a prideful people. So often we pray quickly and act even more quickly. When we should be slow in our prayers, persevere in our prayers, and long-suffering in our prayers, and only act when you call us. We are so self-reliant. Father, instead of laboring for days and hours and weeks in prayer, we speak quickly and then run to do things in our strength. Father, forgive us for that. May we humble ourselves to pray for our families, to pray for the lost, to pray for our leaders, to pray for you to do a work in this community, to pray for your church, to pray for the sick. Father, I pray that you would help us to be humble. So prideful. Even this week, convicted of how quickly so often I go to studying the word before I pray. Help us to be humble and contrite. We can do nothing apart from Christ. Break our hearts for thinking that we can. We would humble ourselves and pray and seek your face. Father, we seek the praise of men. We seek likes on social media. We seek after things on Amazon. We seek after the best deals. We seek after the best way to invest our money. We seek after so many things, and the only and first thing we should seek is your face. Father, may we see you. Father, may we see you. May we behold you. And may you stir in our hearts a longing to seek you harder, to seek after you more. Church, all across this room, I invite you to cry out the character of God, his name, for whatever he lays upon your heart.
You are the God who hears us.
If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Father, we declare in this moment you are a God of reconciliation, of deliverance. You are a God of mercy. You are a God of grace. You are a God who delivers. You are the God who breaks the chains of the bondage of sin. You're the God who promises to bring fullness of life. You're the God who promises to restore. And yet, so often, our pride keeps us from confessing our sin. Lord, may we turn from our wicked ways. May we turn from our wicked ways. We are all broken, and there is not a single one of us in this room that has a temptation that has come to us, that we have succumbed to, that is not common to all men and women. There is no one righteous, no, not one. And there is no sin that is beyond your blood to cover. May we in boldness now confess our sin. And so, church, I want to encourage you and invite you with those that are around you. If there is cherished sin in your heart, to confess it and pray for forgiveness and know that He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. And I know that's not comfortable. But there is freedom, church. And He says, if we cherish that sin in our hearts, He will not hear us. If you want to come to the front, pray, feel free to do so. But confess all of your sins. I feel led to read this. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one with body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Lord, there are men and women in this room who are bound in their sin. We are the most, or one of the most licentious societies. We have redefined what sex is in every way imaginable. And your church has participated. God, forgive us. And that sin in the lives of those that it is bound in, that is hidden, will continue to keep them bound. I pray that you would deliver this morning. Do not let the enemy allow shame and fear to keep them enslaved. Church, if you are enslaved to sin, to sexual sin, any sin that is outside of the flourishing design of God, repent. You will find grace and mercy. No one in this room will judge you. Come and let us pray with you. Bring that which is in darkness to light. I have been in that darkness. It is hell. And there is beauty outside of it. You have designed sex to be good and glorifying and point to the gospel, and we have twisted it. And it is ravaging your church. It is ravaging your church, even to hear of godly men like Ravi Zacharias who seems to have fallen. We are broken in lament. May nothing be in the dark, Father. Church, repent. I want to invite any in this room right now, specifically regarding sexual sin in your lives. If you have some hidden sin, would you be bold enough to just raise your hand? I see many of you. God bless you.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Father, we are so grateful for your promise of mercy. I pray that those who raised their hand, we know there's nothing magical about that, but there is something so beautiful about bringing to light that which is in darkness, and you've promised that that act is a healing one. And Lord, I pray that you would give deliverance. I pray that you would help them to abide in your love, that they would abide in the power of your Spirit, that they might walk in holiness. Father, that you would free them. I pray, Father, that it wouldn't end with a prayer, but Lord, after this service, that they would come and they would talk to one of us, a pastor, an elder, somebody that might want to be willing to walk with them. Father, those that didn't raise their hand, we know that we know that they can still be free, but I pray that at some point today they would not leave this place bound. They would be bold to come. Father, you say that if we come and we pray and we seek your face, we humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, then you will heal. We turn to ask you now to do that. I want to invite anybody in this room who is struggling with a sickness or a fear or a doubt to stand. Anything you want to be healed from. Elders around the room, I would invite you to stand as well and to reach your hands out. Scripture tells us that we are to lay our hands upon our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's not possible with this many, but that's okay. Lord God, we believe you can heal. It doesn't matter how many years we've struggled with a sin or with a sickness or with a doubt or a fear, you can heal. For 12 years, a woman in the gospel struggled with sickness, and you healed it like that. For an entire lifetime, people were bound by demons and spiritual forces, and you cast them away like that. You healed the lame, you healed the blind, you healed the sick of all kinds. You do it today. I've seen you do it. I pray, Father, that you would heal this morning. Father, you know each person in this room exactly where they are. You know exactly what they're struggling with. You know exactly what their hurt is. You know exactly what their sickness is. Bring your kingdom forward for the power of your hand to be displayed. We know we're going to die once. That death has had no victory, has no sting for us. And so we know that this isn't permanent, but nonetheless, we pray your glory to become evident by the hand of your power in the lives of those that are standing in this room right now. I pray that you would heal. I pray, Father, that you would heal in miraculous ways. As we end our time this morning, I want to pray before we sing one last song, a blessing, Lord, upon our kids. They're growing up in a world that is so hostile to you. And I fear for them. I fear for their faith. I feel for their strength to stand firm. I pray, Lord, a protection over them. They are your church. They're your sons and daughters. Father, I pray for each one in this room that holds a position in this world. Engineers, doctors, nurses, those that work in civic areas and social work and restaurants and education and on I could go, Lord. May you bless them. May you help them to shine light wherever they go. May you encourage us to have boldness. Father, may we have the boldness to speak the truth of the gospel wherever we go, Father God. Not to fear and avoid persecution and reviling and slander, Lord, that will come. May we bear it with joy, and may we be bold as your people. Father, it's so hard for us. I pray that you would do it. Father, I want to take a special moment, and I would ask Myron, Dad, if you and David Mann, if you guys would maybe come over here and circle around Patrick and Talia Penn. Patrick is getting ready to go into Topeka, and as a brother in Christ, man, I just want to be honest, this is not a season I would envy him. There's so much turmoil, so much hostility to the truth and the gospel. In our government, Lord, you have sent people like Patrick there, strengthen them. Father, I pray that you would help them to stand firm and hold to the truth and the gospel. I pray, Father, that you would give him both gentleness and wisdom, but also boldness to speak. Father, I pray that you would protect Talia and the kids as they're here. When he's away, may the church wrap their arms around them as he lays down his life to go and serve. And I pray that same for everyone else in this room, Lord. We do lift them up because they have stepped into a position of authority as you've called them and opened those doors. And so pray over them. Bless them, lead them, use them. May they be vessels of your kingdom. Church, I want to invite you to take communion. If you have received your communion cup this morning, go ahead and take that out. And I pray that we abide in the love of Christ this morning. And as we take this, we are reminded of the body of Christ that is broken for us, that we are truly forgiven, that we are truly blameless before the throne of God because of the work of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So church, take this bread that represents the Christ, the body of Christ that was broken for you. And church, take of this juice that represents the blood of Christ that sealed you, that has guaranteed the promise of our inheritance, the blood that was spilt for you. We rest in your grace. We rest in your mercy, Father. Father God, as we close our time together, hear our song. Be blessed by our voices.
Let's raise our voices together one more time. Please stand with us.
As we close, two things I want to do. First, can we not stop being the church? I know that everybody in this room has a different feel about what happened this morning. Some of you are probably totally weirded out. And I get that. That's okay. This is what the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be a people who come and let the Word of God shape us and let it drive us and not worry about whether we're late, which we are, sorry. But the people who want to hear from the Lord and be present with the Lord and let the Lord drive us and take us out in this world because we're His, amen? We're not this world's. This world should have nothing for us. And man, it tries to get us to buy into it. And so I want to encourage you to continue to be the church, not just this morning, but let it continue out in your homes, let it continue out in your lives, let it continue out in this world. And one of the ways that we invite you to do this, and we actually had this plan for part of what we were going to do for our actual service, but we've put together a prayer guide. And it's 52 weeks of just a topic of a scripture and then and a guide to help us all be praying together for the same things. You see a picture of what 1 week looks like. And listen, we just chose once a week, right? Right? Like we can all pray once a week, amen? But this is a great tool. You can pick these up at Info Central. They're available on PDF at our website. But it's just this week, this is what we're praying for. And then this is the week prior because we kind of anticipated to do it the week before but chose not to. And so actually, if you think about this week, I think for the 11th on is actually praying for our leaders because we aligned it with our calendar. And so, church, let's pray. Let's pray. Pray as your families. Maybe you've never done that together. This is a great way for you to start doing that. I would encourage you, if you go to the GLE after this, maybe to continue on with this. I know we'll mess up our schedule, but you know what? That's okay too. But maybe continue on with this and continue to pray, to talk. We're going to be up here at the front, elders, pastors, to talk with you if you want to pray. I hope that this was an encouragement to your heart this morning. I want to read this, and then we're going to sing the doxology, I think I heard. Yeah, okay. Which, if those of you who don't know what that is, but I love, and again, this week I was reading, we were reading in our house church in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I just want to read this part. Paul says this: "Already you have all you want. Already you've become rich. Without us, you've become kings, and would that you did reign, so that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we've become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men." Church, can we be a spectacle to the world? We've become a spectacle to the world. We are fools for Christ's sake. Can we be fools for Christ's sake? Let's be fools for Christ's sake, to his glory, as we go out in this year, as we go out in this week. And I pray God's blessing upon you. Ryan, would you lead us in this song before we close?
Can't think of a better way to end.
Yep, absolutely.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.